17. He's going to be, you got it. Yes. Exciting stuff, isn't it? Amen. I'm going to do something here, and just trust me here, but you'll understand when we get done, but we have some of these shirts from a guy named Andy Aponte. He makes these shirts. He's given tens of thousands of them away over a period of 25 or 30 years. He was part of a motorcycle gang. He was high up, got out of it, started leading motorcycle gangs to Jesus. And anyway, so one of these shirts that he makes is called Prayer, the World's Greatest Wireless Connection. And so what I want to do, I want to hand this around to everybody, even as I'm speaking, when it comes around to you, just I want you to put a prayer on them. The prayer is this, whatever God put on your heart, if there's an area, it could be a family member that you're praying for. It could be an area in your life that you're praying for breakthrough. It could something, whatever God puts on your heart, just say a silent prayer. Pray for it and then send it on to the next person. And so if we could have everybody put hands on this and then pray. Can they a prayer for yours? So combining all these prayers into something that says, prayer, the world's greatest wireless connection. There'll be a reason. We're going to talk a little bit about things like wireless connections today. And so the title today is He is Coming. Well, who's He? Jesus. You know, there was a founding father then, and also Martin Luther, that said this. It is said that in the trees he beheld divine grace and earthly life. Then it goes on, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant an apple tree today, Martin Luther. You've heard me say those things. And being careful, you know, the Lord has been stirring my heart lately, just the things that we've seen in society, that there's signs of the times that he's coming again. Right? Amen? Can you agree with that? Now, I tell you that I'm old enough that, and sometimes I've had a little bit of a rebuff on this, and I'll just tell you why. But it doesn't change anything. Is what I was around in the 70s, believe it or not, and born in 66, actually. And so I was part of that when God, remember the Jesus movement? Do you guys remember that? And so even though I was young, I was really a part of that as I seen my family, my parents, and then pretty soon my parents would have all these people over the house, and it was awesome. And then we'd go to all these other people's house, and it was all about end times teaching, which is okay. But the thing that I saw over a period of time is I did not see what I was seeing years, even years later, some lives that had not been changed. And so even though there's things that we need to make sure that we understand about end times teaching, it is not our only, it is not the only thing in the Bible as far as growing line upon line, precept upon precept, growing in our trust and faith. I've also seen where people have made that only thing that they're consumed by is just end times teaching. And I think that, like anything else, I believe that it can get dangerous. It can be just the focus. What we don't want to do is, or sometimes people say, I don't want to hear end times teaching if they have a background like me, because what can happen is it becomes escapism. Do you know what I'm saying? Escapism. So that's why I said what I said today. Look, if I knew, I want to have that attitude. If I knew the world was, we know the world seems like it's falling apart for sure for what we see, but I want to have that attitude that no matter if he was coming tomorrow, let me have an attitude of planting today. And so when speaking about end times, it's not so people can just sit back, hold up, and just wait for his coming, because I've seen some of that happen. But no, but even as you see the day approaching, man, having a more of a heart to get out there and accomplish what God has for you, amen? It should give his heart, say, man, Lord, you're coming soon. I want to accomplish everything that you've placed within my heart, amen? Amen and amen. So as we speak about some of these things, they're exciting. I remember having a time where I spent a lot of time like reading the book of Enoch. You know, so I've come to realize that maybe the first 30-something chapters of the book of Enoch, now it's not part of the canon, right? But it was something that was read even a couple thousand years ago by the Jews. Did you know that? In early believers. And so although there was a time where I read that book and some other things, and even in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found fragments of the book of Enoch. Did you know that? But it's nothing new, even though it's not canon. I don't spend all my time, but there's definitely things that we can glean from there for this day and this age. Amen? So let me say point number one as we move through this. We have no idea when Christ will return. We don't, do we? And let me say, whether you want to call that a rapture or his second coming, I know there's a lot of different things that people believe. But one thing, as a born-again believer, you have to believe as he is coming back. As Paul said, man, if he's not coming back, we're the people that are to be most pitied. But he says, but in fact, indeed, he is coming back. Amen. And so as the Lord's been speaking to my heart, saying, Chad, some of those things that you saw that turned you off as far as the coming of Jesus again, amen, his second coming, the return of Jesus Christ, or the rapture, the Lord started speaking to me and saying, hey, you can't allow that to be like this, that you don't receive any teaching, or let me speak to your heart about me coming again, because he is coming again, saints. As real as you and I sitting or standing here together today, Jesus is coming back. And know how he loves you and I. We have no idea when he's coming. The scripture, Matthew 24:44, says, Jesus says, for this reason, you must be ready as well. He's talking to his disciples. For this reason, you must be ready as well. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. He's coming an hour when you do not think he will. It's interesting because if you read the beginning of that chapter, he's talking about all these signs of when he will return. He's talking about what we will see here on earth, indicating that his return is getting closer and closer. And then he says, but you don't know the hour and the time. As a matter of fact, he'll come during a time when you think he will not return. And then at the end of that, right after that, I'm just going to read this real quickly. So he goes, these are all the signs of when I'm coming back. And then he says, you don't know when I'm going to come back. It'll be at a time when you don't think. And then he goes on and says, Jesus says, and it ends with my master. This is the end of that chapter. And it ends with my master is not coming for a long time. And he began to beat his fellow servants. And he eats and drinks with those habitually drunk. Then the master of that servant will come on a day that he does not expect, and in an hour when he does not know. So I look at this and see there'll be seasons and times indicating when Jesus will come. And then he says, hey, look, it comes in an hour and a time when you think not. And then he says this about people kind of struggling big time, involved only in the world. And what I see about this is a time when many people might be discouraged. See, we're living in a time where many, many people, believers, have been discouraged. Those who don't even believe in Christ are discouraged. So what is the thing that we'll face during this time as we'll go through the scriptures? Is discouragement coming against you and I. When it talks about a servant who's off doing his own thing, knows the Lord. Most of the time when I see those types of things, saints, it's because some type of discouragement has set. And you know what the good thing is with our Lord and Savior Jesus? He's always there to say, come on, you can come out of that. You can be victorious in any battle. Anything that you've faced in this lifetime, I have called you to be an overcomer. It's those sometimes who get trapped in discouragement, amen? They don't even see the signs of the times around them because what they're focused on, what the discouragement is. You ever been discouraged? Anybody? I'm sure there's been a few of you here, maybe 10 or 20% of you. How about 100% of you? And how about when there's been times in your life where you've been discouraged? Doesn't it change? At some point, it changes your focus. And you begin to have a focus on what that thing that is discouraging you, it can be consuming. It can be all that you think about. It can be something that after a year, 2 years, there's people that can live in areas of life over the years, maybe even decades, in certain areas of discouragement. Aren't you thankful that we're living in a day and a time where I feel like the Lord is stirring hearts afresh and anew? Amen. He's doing something new. Exactly, you've heard me say, I don't know exactly what he's doing. Let's know this. We've got charismatic churches where the power of God's moving. We've got churches where their emphasis is on the Word of God. But one thing we know, in both those camps, there is a generation of children that have forsaken, for now even, have forsaken the gospel. So we know that God needs to do something else, amen? We know he's going to do something new. For God to do a restoration for what you and I are believing for, I believe it's going to take a supernatural move of God that's not going to be dependent on you, and it's not going to be dependent on me, but God's going to do something. It has to, because if it's dependent on me, or if it's dependent on you, we're already finished. But he's going to do something new. Can you sense, has he began to stir your heart with excitement about what he's going to do in this generation? And one of those things that cause a stirring of the heart is this: Lord, we know you're coming back. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8 says, hey, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Amen? Firm in your faith. So when it talks about those that he would, but he come, that he might find those that are discouraged or might have given up, let me tell you today, the Lord wants to stir your heart to say, man, I'm going to stand firm in my faith of what he's begun in me. Amen, amen, amen. Number two, we are to anticipate the return of the Lord. Did you know that? That's biblical. When I hear people talk about now, and I'm talking about, I was one of those because of my being cynical about some of what I was hearing about his second coming. It seemed like that was the only thing they would talk about. But the truth of that, what I'm saying, he's coming again. We are to anticipate the return of the Lord. It doesn't mean that we don't have a focus on what we're doing. Amen. Doesn't mean we drop everything else. You heard me mention that. It's contrary. As we anticipate the return of the Lord, he's going to sharpen things in our hearts and our minds of what he wants us to be praying for, what he wants us to be in a part of, and what he's going to do in this day, in this age. You know the scripture, Hebrews 10:24-25. Hebrews 10:24-25. Says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Amen. This stir each other up. You want to know what maybe your job is right now, is help stir people up. Even what Paul had said to Timothy, he said, stir up the gifts, fan the flame of the gifts of God that are within you. See, one of those things, when God starts speaking and stirring your heart about, hey, I'm coming soon, then he'll start stirring your heart about things and areas of your life that he wants you to do. Amen? We are to anticipate the return of the Lord. Verse 25 says, not neglecting, listen, the meeting of together, as is a habit of some. We've got the habit of some doing that a lot now. Can I say this? I'm just going to say that. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Amen. So when we get together, what are we supposed to do? Encourage one another. There's anything, and it says even more, and all the more as you see the days drawing near. So why would he say, as you see the days drawing near, when Christ shall return, what is he saying? He says, when you see those days drawing near, that's when more than ever we need to be encouraging one another. Amen? Encouraging one another as the wiles of the enemy, the plans of the enemy, the lies of the enemy. Amen? This is what I realized. When, regardless of what you're facing, when discouragement sets in, that's because a lie has set in. Because we know Jesus is an encourager. We know Jesus is a rewarder. Amen? We know Jesus brings strength into our life. So when discouragement sets in, somewhere the enemy has began to lie, and we begin to listen to that. So what is it when we get together, or you're with your friends or whatever, encouraging one another in the Lord, is to say this: don't believe the lie of the enemy in that area of your life. Enough is enough. Come out of that. Let me encourage you to come back and be encouraged in him, to trust him afresh and anew. Amen. Encouraging one another is always about this, man. The enemy's always whispering, this isn't going to work out. you've wasted too much time. That relationship, you blew it. Those relationships, you blew it. That opportunity came and went. It's too late. It's always about things that are contrary to the truth, that bring discouragement. And why encouraging one another is what it does is somebody comes along and says, hey, let me encourage you what the truth is. It's not too late. The Lord still has a purpose. Amen. There's things that God is still doing. And what it does is it counters the lies of the enemy with his truth, and with that comes great encouragement. Amen. Amen. Then it says, encouraging one another. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Anybody here have citizenship in heaven? And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Let's talk about some of these signs. And I don't pretend to be an expert in the signs of the time, but like you, I've got enough discernment to see what's happening. So let's talk about a few things, okay? Matthew 24:36 says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Let me just stop there. Nobody knows the day of Jesus returning. Anybody gives dates? It's wrong. They can't give dates. Because Jesus says, if I don't know, how is somebody else here on earth going to be able to know when he's going to return? Can't have dates. It's hard to say. We know that he says it's going to come during a time when you do not expect. But saying this, that we don't know when he's going to return, but we know he's going to return. Amen. Verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. So what did Jesus say? He says, hey, look, for as in the days of Noah, so it's going to be just like that before I come. Life is going to be hustling and bustling. In some ways, it's going to be seeming normal. Some of the wickedness that we're seeing right now in certain arenas, certain areas, people, it's just normal. That's just part of life. They're not going to think that there's any wickedness there. They're not going to think there's really any right or wrong. It's just going to be going on as life as usual, just like it was in the days of Noah. They would never anticipate it that Noah, who found grace and righteousness, was going to be getting in that boat, in that ark that he built that took him, what was it, 100 years? Am I mind right? Some of you scholars here. 100 years? It took him to, so he, the Lord spoke to him when he was 500 years old, and then he was done when he was 600 years old. And so the Lord spoke to him that said, I'm going to end mankind as it is now. You found favor in my sight. And so he's building this ark. Could you imagine the people are like, what are you doing, Noah? Never even rained yet. But after 100 years, which is not that long, as they saw what he was doing, they probably thought he was crazy. People were going about what they were doing. And all of a sudden, he brought him in the boat, all the animals, and who closed the door of the boat? God. And then a flood came that destroyed existing mankind. Saints, we don't know when he'll come again. There's people, it says, and Peter says, that things go on just like they always have. Where is this talk about his coming? Don't allow yourself to be that. I've heard even saints talk like that. Don't be that. We expect the world to say, where is his coming? Don't worry. I hear saints say, oh, it's a long time. It could be. It could be 100 years. It could be 200 years. Did you know that? It could be very soon. But it says this, have a heart eagerly expecting his return. Amen and amen. You know, I've been reading and talking about a little bit about last week. I just want to return to this. And this is from Genesis 6:4 in the Young's literal translation. It's talking about these fallen ones. It says the fallen ones were in the earth in those days, or giants. And even afterwards, when sons of God come into daughters of men, and they have born to them, they, the heroes, who from of old are the men of name, the men of name. So what's it saying? If you, many of your translations are going to say Nephilim. But when you look at the Young's literal translation, the fallen ones, Nephilim. What do many people think? Let me say this. What are these Nephilim? Well, Nephilim means in the Hebrew, cast down, fall away. Even means male animal, a bully or tyrant, a giant. So here's where we're going. What do many, let me just say this, and I'm just trying to fill in some blanks of what this Genesis chapter 6, those first scriptures are talking about. Many think that this Nephilim, or these fallen ones, or these giants, or this, fallen angels who were on the earth, who ended up mating with women, producing a race of people that were like superhuman, like a demigod. Remember demigod? Remember we talked about that? Remember we talked about some of the Greece, the mythologic, what, gods? And I said, you know what, there's a chance that after the flood and the sons of Noah, knowing and being around all this, seeing all of these Nephilim, these potential fallen angels and human beings mating and producing these superhuman-like, super strong, very big giants who have mating together, producing a race of people that tainted mankind in the race. And could they have not told stories of what happened, and those become the stories of mythology that we hear today? Isn't that possible? I think so. You can watch some of these, listen to some of these mythology stories that you hear about or can read about. Could that not be exactly what it was like during the days of Noah? And so God's saying, My, I will not always be with men. And so not only because all the people that were with Noah in that day and age, their thoughts were only wicked, constantly evil, constantly full of violence, that God wiped them out. Could that not also be that he was trying to wipe out the Nephilim as well? Fallen angels, or what also the watchers. These watchers, you can also find, let me just say, these watchers were angels that were watching over mankind. Not only, did you know these watchers still exist? Well, the watchers watching over mankind at that time, and then lusting after the women of the flesh, and then producing children with them that caused these Nephilim before the flood. Is that a possibility? Yeah, that's a possibility. You're saying, you might be saying, Pastor Chad, where are you going with this? Hang on. Just hang on. This, you know, searching this stuff out is pretty fascinating. It's pretty awesome, actually. And so these watchers, where do we get watchers from the book of Daniel chapter 12? Several places it talks about watchers watching over mankind. So it wasn't just in the book of Enoch talking about watchers. It was also in the book of Daniel, watchers, watching over mankind. So Enoch having that in there, but we have another place in the Bible, in Daniel, talking about watchers who left their place of what God had purposed for them, sinning against God, and created the Nephilim. Are you guys still with me? So fallen angels or the watchers produce offspring with women and produce this hybrid human race who became men of renown, heroes, and tyrants. Now we know, look at, can angels come in bodily form or flesh form? Well, how about when those angels came into Sodom, right? They looked like men. They didn't look any different than anybody else. So you know, we know that angels can take different forms. Am I trying to make a doctrine about this? No, I'm not. Take it for what it is. Let me continue on a little bit in the bazaar. Let me stay a little bit in the bazaar with you. You hanging in there? So anybody ever heard of Dr. Michael Heiser? He's a scholar. Oh, yeah. Well renowned. He just died within the last 6 or 8 months ago. So he has this book called The Unseen Realm. I don't know if you ever heard. And when it comes to demonology and some of these things we're looking at, he was the expert. He spent a lot of time, decades, searching into these things. But in this book, Dr. Michael Heiser, is called The Unseen Realm, he states that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim That's when all these Nephilim, these giants, a part human, part angelic being, when they died, meaning when the flood came and killed everybody, he hypothecates this, that the spirits of the Nephilim, when they died, became what has been known as demons or unclean spirits now. In addition to Enoch, the book of Jubilees also states that ridding the earth of these Nephilim was one of God's purpose of flooding the earth in Noah's time. Could you imagine living during that time, what it must have been like? Are these Nephilim, could they have been these things that after when the flood came and killed every living creature except Noah's family, that these giants, Nephilim, that died, that they had these souls that were ungodly and they became what are known as demons or unclean spirits on the earth? It could be. That's what he was saying based upon Dr. Michael Heiser's studies. And there's other things that he has that he calls a divine council based upon Psalms 82. It talks about God talking to this like this board of divine beings known as God's little gods that he had watching over the earth, helping him. Pretty fascinating stuff. And then it says let me spend a few more minutes. It says, and then the Nephilim existed after the flood. How could that be? It said after the, and why do they just not call them people? Why are they calling them Nephilim? Fallen ones, giants. So many think that maybe some of these spirits also did the same thing after the flood. And obviously then somehow God, if you read through Peter talks about them being cast into utter darkness and chained until the end of time. We know Satan is released, right? He goes to and fro the earth right now, but there are such wicked spirits that Peter talks about that they are chained right now to the day of judgment. They're not allowed on the earth. Maybe during the last times, these last days, maybe some scholars say they're going to be released again, but they're chained. Could those be some of those that were involved in those things in the days of Noah or right after that? Maybe. Some of the, when you read about it, it says those angels who did not hold their place of glory. Pretty interesting stuff. And then Numbers 13:33, the children of Israel. The scripture says, we also saw the Nephilim there, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Could you imagine the cities, the size of these people? So we talked about God, the reasoning for wiping out the nations of Canaan. You'll listen to people and say, hey, if God is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever, obviously we're in a new covenant. Why was he willing to, you know, not only wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah and a few other little cities, why was he willing to use the Israelites to wipe out seven nations plus the Nephilim just so he could give these Israelites their own promised land? Well, there's a little bit more to that. Because we talked about God's reasoning for wiping out the nations of Canaan, using the children of Israel. Those nations were given over to a reprobate mind, sacrificing children. Remember I talked about it last week, bestiality, incest, worshiping of all other gods, every form of witchcraft. No such thing is wrong or right. How do we know? Because God said, when you go into the nations to dispossess them, these are the things you shall not do like the countries that you're going to be dispossessing. These were the things that they were doing. Amen. So what was the best that Canaan and those countries had to offer at that time? Remember Balaam? You remember Balaam? So Balaam was asked by a king to come and curse Israel. And so he was hearing the voice of God. Matter of fact, you heard a donkey talk too, remember? So this is an idea of what society at that time had the best they had to offer. Balaam hearing the voice of God saying, I can't curse him. God, with God's blessed, I cannot curse. Man, I like saying that about myself, man. With God is blessed, the enemy cannot curse. What God has blessed, I don't care who throws a curse on me. That doesn't scare me at all. I belong to him. Amen. He's my protector. Maybe somebody here needs to hear that today. Somebody's been cursing you or you've got fear because somebody has cast a curse on you who practices witchcraft. Amen. Just rebuke it in Jesus' name. He's made you more than a conqueror. The thing that'll get you down in a situation like that will be fear. Don't let fear set in, but let the truth take hold. Amen? So Balaam being the best to offer. So Balaam says, hey, God told me I can't curse you guys, and what's blessed can't be cursed. But when all of that's over, he said this. He says, but if you want to get at Israel, send your shrine, temple, prostitutes to the men, and you'll cause that to be a trip for them, and then you can cause them to stumble and fall. So the best they had to offer is a guy that maybe could hear God's voice, but then turned around and said, but this is how you can defeat Israel. False gods, sexual sin, perversion. See, what the best that that society had to offer then was some people that, I want to hear your voice, but I want to walk in my own path. And may you and I, brothers and sisters, none of us here be of a mindset, Lord, I want to hear your voice, but I want to walk my own path. Man, I don't want anything like Balaam in me. Lord, I want to walk every path, because it says that your word is a light unto my path. Amen? Being a doer of the word of God. Genesis 15 says this, 15, but as for you, you will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. This is Abraham. In the fourth generation, your descendants will return here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached the limit. What's he saying? He says, hey, you, Abraham, you have your son. Amen. You've got the promise, Isaac. You're going to die. You're going to be raised up in the last age. It's going to be 400 year plus years. You're going to come out of that country. And then this country, no, I know the future. This country's sin is going to be to the max. They'll not have a voice to hear God at all. Amen. Just like in the day and age, there's people who don't have a voice to hear God at all. Aren't you glad that's not you? And then we say, so we have Israelites that dispossess these seven nations. Amen. What about the law, though? You know, remember last week I said, man, if it wasn't for the law, would there have been a virgin to have Jesus when he got to the when it was time for him to come to the earth? Galatians 3:19 says, why the law then? It was added on account of the violations. What are the violations? All the sin. Having been ordered through angels. Man, that's pretty neat. What's that mean? I don't quite know. But ordered through angels. At the hand of a mediator. We know mediator was Moses. Amen. Until the seed would come to whom the promise had been. The law was in place. Amen. So like the days of Noah, amen and amen. Jesus, the seed. You know, there was times in Israel's history where there was not even but a handful of people following the Lord. Did you know that? There was times, it's an example. Remember Elijah, when God told him that, well, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. But how many millions of Israelites were there? How many millions? Was there 10 million Israelites at that time? I don't know. Somewhere in that range. So the law, you say, why the law? The law came and it locked everybody under sin. That you cannot do it yourself. It's to make you realize that there's no righteousness in you. There's nothing in you where you can be holy. Amen? And it actually preserved that seed of Israel. So when Jesus came, the Christ, the perfect one, was born. Amen? So when he died and rose again, he would put his law within your heart. Where you could not do it as a letter, amen, he would put his law upon your heart that you could walk with him in love, amen, and truth, and power, and his strength. Amen and amen. And so it says that then the Lord saw the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Genesis 6. You know, let me just say a few things. Where are we at? Just in as far as where man is right now. We know that full term of abortion is not off the table anymore, right? The day after pill is expanding to reach many pharmacies. I was just reading that the day after pill, they're pushing that to go to pharmacies in every state. So you can just have on-demand abortion. Transgenderism being taught in schools while faith is mocked. We know about Pride Month. Every June, it seems to be celebrated more and more and more prevalent. Anti-Semitism is unlike anything I would have ever imagined right now. Would you have ever imagined the anti-Semitism that we see right now? What we see with China, Russia, Turkey, alliance of nations. Can you see it all coming together? Evolution, there's no God. Psychology, psychological warfare. No borders now. Amen. The United Nations saying, telling our nation, wanting to tell the United States what they should do and not do. We see all these things where it seems like wickedness is coming to accumulation, right? But what about technology? Stick with me a few more minutes, saints. I was talking about last week that China can pay by their palm now. So, and it not only reads your palm, it reads the veins under your skin. So now I was watching a thing about it, this company in China, accumulation of all these sins and men are committing, but how about technology? So now you don't have to have your phone, you just beep. Your purchase. Amen. We already know that you can pay with your phone and watch. I have to admit, I went to Safeway the other day and I just paid for my groceries with my watch. Just push this button and beep. And you say, yeah, Chad, you shouldn't be doing that, but are you using a credit card? It's coming right out of your account. You already know you can pay with your phone or watch at stores. We can watch TV or phone anywhere you want to be. I can watch a football, baseball game. I can watch TV shows anywhere I want now. Do you remember when you were a kid? If you're older, if you're young, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Just say, Lord, help me have understanding here. And if you had a favorite TV show, if you wanted to watch Bonanza, you had to wait every Thursday, whatever, at 7:30 or 8 p.m. That is now the only way you're going to be able to watch that. Now you can watch things on your phone, your tablet, amen. You can ask Google, how do I do this? You can get information from technology right at your hand now. I've done that before. Google. I could be arguing with some people about some things. I say, well, let's just Google it. Because Google knows everything. Saints, do you see where I'm going here with technology? The day and age that you and I live in. Social media platforms used to suppress conservative political Christian views. Amen. I said this, I did a little more study. This thing blows me awake. Remember, I mentioned it last week, Neuralink with Elon Musk. So it has a computer chip that they put in your mind. It is now able to, you have a thought to move that mouse on your computer, and it will move the mouse. Can you believe that? How is that even possible? So it controls a computer, or it says, or a mobile device. Next thing they're working on is robotic arms. You know, it would be cool. I mean, people with no limbs, right? They could be like they have limbs. Some of this seems cool, but it never ends up there. Amen? It never ends there. It always ends up being used for evil. It's always ends up to using that. See, there is no God. Man is a God unto himself. No wonder 666, amen, the number of man saying we don't need a God. Look at what we've accomplished. Look what we can do now. We can take something that you got, a chip you can put in your mind, and now we can control a computer. Where does that end? I have no idea. Looking at another study now, saying where people can read somebody else's thoughts. Somebody was in one country, somebody was in another country, and they could hear in their head that person say hello. But they won't say how they did it because they want to patent that. So where is technology going? Let me, you know, some of these things. Therapeutic cloning. Talk about cloning now. This is where I think it could be interesting for the Nephilim. Therapeutic cloning to treat diseases. Could you imagine cloning someone's heart, brand new heart? How about cloning kidneys? We made you new kidneys, just like yours. It's a perfect match. It has your DNA. That's what they're working on right now as we speak. cloning food. Here, we're making food to, here, we don't need any, we don't need chickens anymore. We can grow them in this, in a lab. Cloning diseases. Can you imagine cloning someone's heart, cloning kidneys? But with AI, we have no idea where the science is for cloning human beings. We're advancing so quickly with knowledge right now that it's even blowing the minds of scientists. End times. Let me just say a few more things. Can you imagine? Stick with me, saints, here. Can you imagine someone's child dying and having the ability to clone that child or have that child preserved for a period of time and bringing that person back to life? Did you know those are things that they're working on? What about the soul of that person? Let me just give thought. Would that human being cloning be like an animal with no soul? Or would that clone person be able to be possessed by an evil spirit immediately and be something like an end of the ages Nephilim? As in the days of Noah, shall be the same when the Son of Man comes. Weren't you here? We don't need God now. We can bring life back and be something like the end of the ages Nephilim. Or how about mixing the DNA of man and an animal, creating superhumans? How about that? I remember telepathic communication. I can now talk to somebody. They're working on talking to them. These are things we would never have imagined, would it? But it says in chapter 12 of Daniel that people be going to and fro, and knowledge would increase. So to and fro, man, we can travel anywhere now, don't they? They're making, you can travel. It used to, hey, look, at when this was written, how long would it take you to travel 100 miles, let alone 5,000 miles? And knowledge would increase. You know, this thing of the knowledge would increase, what it also means when knowledge would increase, going to and fro, it means pushing the envelope, coming up with more and more and more things. Now, I say all this that we don't want to spend all your time in that, because it can lead to fantasy. It can lead where all you do is focused on this. Man, it's the gospel that saves souls. Let me ask you, is it the last hour, saints? 1 John 2:18 says this, children, this is how long ago, 2,000 years ago? Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, have we been hearing that? It's coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. What'll happen is there'll be many that they won't call themselves the Antichrist. They'll be offering other things that get people a little bit away from the gospel. Look at what we can do. You can trust science. You can trust technology. Man, for the world to accept an Antichrist, it will happen slowly over time. It'll be like the frog in the hot water. You know what I'm talking about? You warm it up just slowly, and then it'll boil him to death. If you just boil some water and throw a frog in there, he'll jump right out. But if you slowly boil that, then he'll slowly boil to death. Antichrist come in untruths. So as we see, if this is the end of time, which I believe, what we're going to see is more and more untruths, little at a time. It'll start with, well, you know, in a Disney movie. It'll start in things that used to be where you and I could watch and partake of it wholesomely. We'll slowly put little things in there where your children, my children, my grandchildren say, ah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You're being old-fashioned. You're saying things that I don't believe anymore. It's little by little things that the enemy, the Antichrist, places in a society, if a society allows it, a portion of those society, the society that refuses to walk in his truth, will slowly accept the untruths of an Antichrist. Technology. How do many false Christs prepare the way now? It's through technology. Technology. Let me continue on here real quick. As for you, this is John, to see that, as for you, see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. So if it's the last days, saints. Let's say to one another exactly what John was saying to his audience. As for you, see what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you also remain in the Son and the Father. What's that saying? No deception. Confidence. Growing in Him. Not being tricked by the wiles of the devil. Not becoming so discouraged that I just give up. But staying rooted and grounded in Him. Saints, as we see those things coming against us, as we see AI and the technology that's going to blow our mind, where now they'll be able to put a little thing over your eye and that little chip in your brain, you'll be able to just think about the camera at your house. You can turn on the camera and see what's going on in your house without ever looking at your phone or anything, but it'll just be this little thing in your eye that plays. You'll be able to see things. You'll be able to not even have a computer. You've seen what Apple has, where it has that large thing right now. Have you seen that, where you have this like goggles on, it has your computer screen there, so you can be doing your thing wearing these funky goggles, operating your computer, but what as time goes on, pretty soon there won't be that goggle. It'll just be a little thing, like when you put in your eye. It'll be a contact. Put your complete trust in Him. Do not abandon your hope and trust. In a time where many are becoming discouraged, saints, hear this. Allow Jesus to fill you with supernatural strength, hope. Be like a bulldog that refuses to let go. You ever seen a bulldog with something?
Yes.
So as you see these things advancing, it says as you see these things going, don't allow yourself to be discouraged. This is the time that's saying, Lord, I'm not going to give up being with my brothers and sisters, as it says, as many are doing right now. But even the more being together to encourage each other to not allow the lies of the enemy. And it says in verse 25, this is the promise which He Himself made. He made to us eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. God's eternal life in you. As we're walking through this, in this earth, walking in His truth, walking in His victory, as we see things that are going on around us, let me say this. Even as you see things getting more wicked around you, just know this, it's coming to an end. Let me just finish with a few verses. Hang in there. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Is there deceivers in the last days? And as for you, the anointing which you received from Him remains in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you remain in Him. Now, when it says nobody can teach you, let me say this, it's the Holy Spirit. I could say something here, and four people take it differently. The Holy Spirit will teach you. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, the Lord showed me, and I'm going to do this. And I said, I didn't say anything about that. Didn't say one thing about that. But the Lord teaching them took something I said and directed to an area of their life to say, do this, or trust me here. Or this is the direction. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. Amen. There's many voices out here. Cling to the Holy Spirit. Cling to the Word of God to direct you in your life. How do we know deception is making inroads in our life? This is what I've discovered. Hear me. If you don't hear anything I've said today, hear this. How do we know deception is making inroads in our life? There becomes no peace, only worry, habitual anxiety, fear controls us, or anger is a mechanism. This is what I've come to realize. When those things that God has given us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and meekness, when they're not ours, when it's something that we have, can't seem to experience, I can guarantee there's a deception in your life that needs to be shown to you, an area maybe of your life that needs to be healed, and they repented of it and you let go of it. Amen. Have you ever been around people that worry all the time? I have to admit, I had a grandmother. As she got older, she a dear woman of God, but she would worry about stuff. It felt like it was her job to worry. And so I would take care of that worry for that, for what was going on. And then I said, you're going to have to find something else to worry about, because I took care of that. Sure enough, a few days later, there'd be something else new that she had to worry about. And I would take care of that, and I'd say, it's taken care of. You're going to have to find something new to worry about. Saints, let me tell you this. Worrying will not change a thing. It's a lie of the enemy that says that if you will worry about it, it's going to change things. It takes your peace. There's no joy. And that is a lie of the enemy. What have I noticed in my life? When there's a habitual lack of peace in my life, I say, Lord, what have I believed? Or where am I blind in an area that you want to reveal to me so I can get back in peace with you? So this, the thing is, it says, now little children remain in him. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not draw back from him and shame at his coming. Does that mean we're going to hell? No. The shame is, Lord, I forfeited so much that you could have gave me. Let's not forfeit. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness also has been born of him. What it's saying is, I want to be more like Jesus. Don't make excuses for struggle, saints. As the piano comes, or habitual habits. What did I say wrong? Piano player, come, please. Do you know my mind somewhere else? I'm like, why are they laughing? Let me just say this in struggles. Don't make excuses for struggles. Bring them to the cross. Amen. Don't forfeit peace. As we see things going on, as you can see at this end times or AI, right? I don't think we've even seen the beginning of what we're going to see in AI. It's getting, you know, read stories where AI collects all this information, but they're looking forward to the day when it can teach itself. That's scary, isn't it? Galatians 2:20, as you stand with me. Don't make excuses for struggles, man. Don't live with that. Bring them to the cross. Allow yourself to die. Isn't that funny? Allow yourself to die. Has everybody prayed over that t-shirt? Did it go over here? Real quick, and then we'll pray. So if someone can bring that up to me, make sure everybody lays hands, say a prayer. Hey man, when there's struggles, let me just say this. Where do I go? What did Jesus say? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. But there's one thing I've noticed in the last, even in the few weeks more aware of when I've had things pressing against me, I feel the Lord saying, hey, just come pray. Yes. Come spend some time with me. I'll come spend some time with him. I'll go to whether it's my prayer closet or if I'm on my way into town, I'll start praying in the Spirit. I'll start crying out to the Lord in that area and say, Lord, bring comfort to that. You know, when you seek him, did you know he'll bring comfort? Yes. You know what happens sometimes? Let me ask you if you've been here where we can have some stress and then we turn to technology to take our mind off of it. Let me say this. I love getting together with my family and watching movies. I mean, me and my granddaughters will start watching Christmas movies in July. Because it just reminds us that Christmas is going to be here. So I'm not saying that you can't watch movies and different things, but what I'm saying is, appreciate it. What I'm saying is with everything this world has to offer, when there's things that are pressing against us, where do we go? It's an ancient path. It may seem like there's no technology there, but the truth is prayer.
Thank you.
The world's greatest wireless connection.
Wireless, yeah.
Amen. Whatever you could maybe be struggling with today, we see what's going on in the world. Amen. We're at a time where the Lord's saying, man, there is technology. Every week, they say the average person looks at their phone like twice every minute. I've been guilty of that. I'm not going to lie. Looking too much. But you know, I'm starting to realize that some of that technology that's taking my time and all my energy is actually adding to my anxiety, actually adding to my fear as I hear a new story about this or that. Amen. Now, we're going to be facing technology in the future that's going to be coming after your time more and more and more. But the Lord showed me, he said, come to the ancient technology. I have everything you need. Hallelujah. I have everything you need. Come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Those that are struggling, man, that struggle maybe for weeks at a time, months at a time, year at a time, the Lord's saying, come to me. Amen. Come to me. I am one that, he says, I am humble in heart, and I will give you rest. So, Father, take in these prayers right now. Pray with me, Father. Every prayer, every hand that was laid upon this shirt, Father God, realizing, Father God, you're the one who answers prayer, Father God. You're the one that brings satisfaction to a heart. Father, you're the one that leads and guides us, Father God. You're the one true God, Father God. We know you're coming back, Father God. We know, Father God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we take every one of these prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you answer prayer. Amen. We thank you, you're the God that hears our voice, Father God. We belong to you, Lord Jesus. We are your children, Father God. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father, for answering every prayer, Lord. You heard those things, even things on people's heart for many, maybe a generation, it seems like, Father. Thank you for this being the day and the hour of answering prayer. Thank you for this being the day and the hour where you move by your power fresh and anew, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you, Father. We don't give up on those things, Lord. We know you're the answer, Lord. And those things, Father, that we may turn to find satisfaction in our lives, Father God, to try to bring peace into our lives, but are actually, Father God, they're just false, Father God. They're things that don't bring peace, Father. Show us, Father God, those things, Lord, that we can forsake those things, Father, that maybe we turn to try to bring comfort, but they're actually adding, Father God, to our anxiety and our fear. Father, show us your people that break those things off our lives. Father, speak to us afresh and anew. Father, may we hear your voice like never before. Father, may we have a desire to hear your voice like never before. Lord, as we've been waiting upon you, maybe, Lord, you're waiting upon us to act. May we act, Father God, afresh and anew, speaking to hearts. Thank you for moving in this generation, Father God, as it's evident that you're coming again, as there's been great darkness, Lord. Thank you for shining your light on us with the truth of the gospel to walk with you, Father God. May we not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone to believe. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, may this be an hour where we're not ashamed of the gospel. Father, it's what's changed us. It's what saved us. It's what set us free, Father. So we thank you, Father God, that you are the way. May we not enter into any deception, Lord, in this day and this age, but come into you fully, Father. We are your children. And thank you for answering prayer. We love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. Father, may we have desperate hearts to hear your voice afresh and anew. Father, we thank you for that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.